Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I am your host, Kyle. Today is our week 7 review, final week of the regular season. So let's go ahead and dive right into it. We will start off with our Friday game that was Army versus Cornell at Cornell. Army took that one pretty easily, 66-6. My player of the game was junior wide receiver Donovan Mannion. He finished the game with 3 receptions, 81 yards, and 1 touchdown. Not much to really decipher when it came to this one. Army really just looking for a tune-up game to, you know, get ready for the CSFL title game, which will take place next week at Mansfield. Looking forward to going up there to see that one. Again, you know, wasn't really much resistance from Big Red, to the point Army didn't have to play their starters for very long. Sophomore quarterback Mikhail Wilkie, a backup quarterback, came in, played most of the game, finished the game 131 yards and 3 touchdowns. The young quarterback throughout the season, when he has been given the opportunity to play, has shown that he will, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstances, probably be the next guy at the quarterback position there. Since he's so young, you know, looking forward to having about 2 productive seasons next year should he be named the starter next season. But he's definitely shown me some stuff, shown me that he has, you know, the ability to play quarterback at that program at a very high level. Freshman backs Henry Beck and Scott Beville combined for 179 yards and 3 touchdowns. Army has been using a stable of running backs for the last few seasons, especially this year. And, you know, they've had guys step up, even 1 or 2 guys who may have been at another position at the start of the season. So definitely have a stable of young backs who are looking to have some promising careers and, you know, producing a lot of, you know, high quality football games in the near future. Junior wide receiver Donovan Mannion continues to have an impressive season. I believe as of right now, he leads the league in receiving touchdowns. Should have 9 or 10, probably, I think 9. So yeah, he leads the league in receiving touchdowns, testament to his ability. And even though, you know, he didn't play most of the night, he still finished with 3 receptions, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Defensively, you know, which is sometimes the case when you have a lopsided game like this, there wasn't a lot of production to go around for the defense. But that is because they were playing in such a fashion. There were not a lot of first downs generated, not a lot of passes caught, not a lot of positive yards gained by Cornell. However, Army defense did have 10 defenders finish the game with at least 3 tackles. So a lot of just production spread out evenly between their guys, starters, and their backups due to the nature of the game. Army will be representing the CSFL North in the title game next Saturday at Mansfield. Again, not much to really say on the other side of things. Cornell couldn't get anything to go their way in the final game of the season. You know, despite winning 2 games this year, they have a long way to go if they, you know, hope to return to any type of relevancy in the league. The team finished this game with just 2 completions between 3 different quarterbacks and have 46 rushing yards as a group. 3, you know, if there is a bright spot in the game, 3 Cornell defenders did have 10-plus tackles. But again, a lot of the stats generated for them defensively were due to the nature of the game. So, you know, 2nd, 3rd string guys coming in for Army. So kind of empty calorie stats in this particular situation. Cornell finishes their season with 2 wins, 4 losses, and 1 forfeit loss as they look to bounce back and have a more successful season next year. Next, we will go to Caldwell versus Mansfield. Caldwell won this one pretty handily as well, 51-6. My player of the game is senior running back Carl Watson. He finished the game with 66 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 receptions for 23 yards. Caldwell jumped on Mansfield early in the game and just didn't look back. A lot of turnovers for Mansfield just put them in bad positions, didn't put them in positions to make a lot of productive plays to win the game. Caldwell had a, I think it was either 21-0 or 28-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. junior quarterback Frank DeMeo ended his season strong. He threw for 208 yards and touchdown. Also added 29 yards on the ground as well as two scores. Again, though, the star of the day was senior running back Carl Watson. He capped an amazing career for Caldwell with 66 yards and three touchdowns. Again, handful of catches for 23 yards. Watson will go down as maybe the most impactful player, offensive player in Caldwell history. And in terms of the history of Sprint Football, CSFL, he's all over the record books. And, you know, as of Saturday, he is, to the best of my knowledge, you know, someone who's researched the league, accumulated stats, this, that, and the third, X, Y, and Z. He is the only player in CSFL Sprint Football history to have 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards. So that in itself is one of the most impressive career statistics, career records, career accolades that the league's ever seen. So it's a testament to his talent, his production, and the things he did for the Caldwell program during his four-year stint there. So congratulations to Carl Watson on an absolutely stellar career. But I'll get more into that. I have some ideas for some things I want to do for some prominent seniors who will be leaving us after this season. Sophomore wide receiver Zaire Mitchell had game of his career thus far, finishing with 5 receptions, 138 yards, and a touchdown. Caldwell defense as a whole deserves a lot of recognition. Again, after forcing 8 Mansfield turnovers, of the 8 turnovers, 6 of them were interceptions. So the Ball Hawking defense closed out their season just like they've played all throughout the year, forcing a lot of turnovers, forcing a lot of interceptions. Caldwell finishes their season 5-2, and they claim the second spot in the CSFL North. Mansfield, again, like I said earlier, couldn't really get anything to go their way on offense. Bad snaps, drop passes, interceptions did not do them any favors, and they consistently gave Caldwell the ball with the short field, you know, multiple times throughout the game. Freshman quarterback Kasid Raymond did what he could, but he couldn't spark the offense the way he had done for most of the season. The young quarterback finished the game with 115 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 71 yards on the ground, but he also threw 4 interceptions and had 2 fumbles. One of the fumbles was a miscommunication with the snap count, but the other one hit him in the hands, and he couldn't reel it in off the snap. His one big pass of the day did go to junior wide receiver Mayante Drayton, who finished the game with 2 receptions, 41 yards, and a touchdown. And again, despite the woes, Raymond did make some amazing plays. Again, the touchdown to Drayton was right before halftime. And then of his 71 rushing yards, he did have an amazing scamper, you know, 30, 40 odd some yards for a first down. He did have a rushing touchdown, ultimately got called back, I believe, due to a holding penalty. So Raymond definitely proved to be one of the most explosive playmakers in the league this season. And, you know, throughout the year, despite some ups and downs, he definitely is one of the most productive quarterbacks that the league had to offer this season. Flip to the other side of the ball, freshman linebacker Gavin Hinman led the team in tackles with 10, also added a tackle for loss. Senior linebacker Chase Moser finishes his amazing career. He finished with 8 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Moser has been another guy, much like Watson, who's been a day one starter, had a lot of impact for the Mansfield program since he's gotten there. This season really showed his versatility. Somebody lined up, you know, outside traditional backer, coming up to the line as an edge rusher. And this game, going back to his position he played when he was an underclassman as a defensive tackle. So he definitely showed how versatile he can be. One of the more versatile defensive players Mansfield's ever had, and definitely one of the best defenders Mansfield's ever had. And he's another guy throughout the history of the league. He's going to be on all the lists and had an amazing impact and is one of the better players Mansfield's had in the last, you know, few years. So, again, big ups to Chase Moser on a spectacular career. Another guy Mansfield had, senior defensive back Kayan Berger, finished his career. Again, another versatile guy who went from playing defensive end to starting safety and didn't miss a beat. Definitely showed you how versatile he can be and how much of an impact he's had there at the Mansfield program. He finished the game with 6 tackles and 1 interception. Mansfield finishes their season 4-4 as they claim third place in the CSFL North. Then we get to our final game. It's Chestnut Hill versus Stack. Stack won this one 20-10. I was trying to watch this one while I was watching the Mansfield game, but the feed was not jiving with my Wi-Fi at the time. So it was going on and off, and from black where I heard the audio to the video with no audio. So it just wasn't working. I had to turn it off after a while. But Stack closes out their season with a come from behind win against Chestnut Hill. Change that real quick. Freshman quarterback Dennis Rordan is my player of the game. He finished the game with 210 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. Speaking on Rordan, he has been absolutely spectacular throughout the season. One of the better freshman seasons of a quarterback in league history. And already one of the best quarterbacks that St. Thomas Aquinas has ever had. And he's just in his first year. He's had a high caliber of play throughout the season. Definitely showed you what he can do if he continues to mature and continues to improve as a quarterback. The future is bright for him and St. Thomas Aquinas as a program, you know, with him at the helm and some of the skill players on both sides of the ball that they do have. Sophomore running back Bo Maroney led the team in rushing yards with 88 yards, one of his most impressive performances of his young career. And junior wide receiver Makai Matthews closed out his breakout season with 8 receptions for 77 yards. And sophomore wide receiver Eli Lopez saved his last game for his best game. He finished the game with 3 receptions for 62 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he had a couple very acrobatic catches. Very high level in terms of skill catches to, you know, ultimately lead Stack to the win. And the young receiver core is definitely a strength for St. Thomas Aquinas for the foreseeable future. Defensively, sophomore Davion Hicks had another great game to end the season. He had a very good game last week as well. He led the team in tackles with 12, and senior defensive end Tyreek Smith closes out an amazing career with 7 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. Smith, another guy much like Moser, much like Watson, guy is going to go down in history there, go down in history in the league, is one of the better players that St. Thomas Aquinas has ever had. As of Saturday, he finishes his career at Stack as the all-time leader in tackles, tackles for loss, and sacks. So that's definitely something you know, he should be proud of as he rides off into the sunset. Something that can't be sneezed at, and he's going to go down as one of the better players, you know, in CSFL history, much like Watson, much like Moser, much like some other guys on some of the other teams who get to go to the title game and have not had as much team success this year. But Smith is one of the guys who, you know, you can't tell a story in the league without telling his tale. So big ups to Tyreek Smith on finishing a fantastic career. St. Thomas Aquinas finished their season 2-5, but despite the losses, they have a bright future ahead of them. Chestnut Hill took an early lead in this one, but couldn't hang on. Junior quarterback Carmen Dio only completed 6 passes for 45 yards, also threw 1 interception. Freshman running back Malachi Jones led the Griffins in rushing yards with 48, and sophomore athlete Lonnie Sabolski, who has been one of the lone spark plugs for the Chestnut Hill offense. He scored the lone touchdown on the day for Chestnut Hill, which was a long kick return. But Sabolski has, you know, played quarterback, played receiver, running back, you know, one of their primary kick returners. So he's definitely a guy who's shown some athleticism, even though it might not reflect that in the total season statistics. Because he's been bumping around to so many different positions, he definitely has proved that he is one of their more effective offensive players. Defensively, freshman defensive back Meech Lehler led the team in tackles with 13 and 1 tackle for loss. And junior linebacker Luke Adanasi, he's been one of the bright spots for Chestnut Hill on the defensive side of the ball. He finished with 7 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. He definitely should be primed for a big senior year next year as the Griffins look to rebound from, you know, a very, very disappointing season after 3 straight above 500 seasons. Again, Chestnut Hill finishes their season 1-6 as they look to improve next year. My mistake, this is the final game of the weekend. Had the pleasure of going to see this game in person. Very, very cold night at Franklin Field. Had Navy versus Penn. Navy won this one in dominant fashion, 52 214. My player of the game is senior running back Matthew McGee, as well as junior running back Alex Tota. McGee finished with 194 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tota finished with 54 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. With this one, Navy punches their ticket to represent the CFL South in the title game at Mansfield next weekend. A dominant running game just proved to be too much for Penn to handle. Despite the running game success, passing game was rather relatively reliable. Senior quarterback William Leong had a steady game. He threw for 119 yards, also had a big run in there as well. Offensive line and the running backs, again, were the stars of the day. McGee and Tota went off, just completely tore up the Penn defense, which is usually a very, very stout running defense. They just didn't have it on the day. The duo has been dominant all season long, and any success they have in the title game next week will ultimately come down to what those two are able to produce. On the defensive side of the ball, sophomore defensive lineman Devin Martin had the best game of his career. He finished with 10 tackles, three and a half tackles for loss, and 3 sacks. Senior linebacker Mike Garnett finishes his senior regular season with 5 tackles and 1 interception. Despite the low statistical numbers for him throughout the season, again, like some Army guys, really due to the dominant fashion that the defense is played in, that they're not on the field a whole lot and there's not a lot of first downs and productive offensive play from the other team. For, you know, certain players to accumulate some stats, so there's definitely some context you have to apply when you look at some guys' total numbers. But when you look at the impact he had and has and has had all season in the games where he actually is playing, deep into the second, deep into the third quarter, sometimes most of the games this year he wasn't playing in the fourth quarter. He's been a stud, you know, all season long then for Navy at the Mike Backer position. And, again, despite the low season totals, again, also having a forfeit from Cornell. So there's a whole, you know, he probably wouldn't have played 4 quarters in that game either. But that's another 2 quarters of football to accumulate some stats that he probably didn't get. So you got to look at the impact. You got to look at the plays when he is playing, you know, early in the first, early in the second, against some of the better teams to really see the impact that he has for that Navy defense. So he definitely is one of the better defensive players in the league, despite not having the gaudy season totals as some of the other guys. But he finished this game with 5 tackles and 1 interception. It was a great, great interception, I might add. I saw that one live. Navy heads up to Mansfield next week to take on Army for the CSFL title. Again, Penn lost this one. Did manage to put up 14 points, but they just couldn't keep up with the offensive output of Navy. Junior quarterback Andrew Paolini had an off night. Did manage to throw for 129 yards and a touchdown, but also threw 3 interceptions, and he was sacked, I believe, 5 times. So not a lot of time to push the ball down the field. Did score a late rushing TD in the fourth to help, you know, mitigate the scoring differential. Senior running back Laquan McKeever, another guy. We talk about a lot of stud seniors. Another stud senior who finishes his incredible career. He finished with 35 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 34 yards, and a receiving touchdown. Just like McKeever, senior tight end Ben Klaus, senior wide receiver Brendan McCaffrey also capped absolutely spectacular careers. Klaus finished the game with 2 receptions, 50 yards. McCaffrey only had 1 reception for 4 yards and some kick return yards. Unfortunately, he did have to exit the game after one of the more explosive kick returns of the game due to an injury. I got to talk to him after the game. Very, very unfortunate that he wasn't able to finish his senior game, to the end. But again, Klaus, McCaffrey, and McKeever are 3 guys, much like Moser, much like Watson, much like Smith, who are going to go down in history at their programs, respectively, as well as helped, you know, rewrite some records throughout the season and will be remembered as 3 of the best players Penn's ever had, but at each of their positions, 3 of the best players that the CSFL has ever seen. I'll get more into that again as I do some honorary stuff for some of these guys exiting the CSFL after their senior season. But again, capped for those 3 guys for incredible careers. Defensive side of the ball, Penn did have 3 players record 13-plus tackles. Junior linebacker Lewis Evans, who's been a monster all season, he had 15. Freshman linebackers Cam Janik and Jake Insira Cam Janik had 14. Jake Nsiri had 13 tackles. A strong linebacker core is definitely the strength of this Penn defense. Has been routinely years past, but you know, coming in next year with Evans being a senior and two sophomores coming up who had very successful freshman seasons, they should definitely be a force to be reckoned with at the linebacker position for the next few seasons. Penn, you know, finishes their season 5-2, takes second in the CSFL South as they look to compete for a title next season. So that is a wrap for our final week of the regular season, week 7 review. Another classic, a lot of good games, a lot of, you know, blowouts, you know, quite frankly, but still a lot of good football to be played. Even in some of the blowouts, there were, you know, players who definitely capped some amazing careers and, you know, went out there, competed despite, you know, the team maybe not having the most success. So, again, congratulations to all of the seniors who have finished their CSFL careers, whether you were, you know, all-time great, whether you were a program staple, or whether you were a guy, you know, you helped. Your role was to help your team in practice or, you know, giving good reps to some of the starters. You know, you need both of those type of players to help, you know, compete to establish a winning program. But, you know, wish everybody who's finishing their career nothing but the best and they're off the field endeavors, whatever they get into for their careers, their social relationships, their personal relationships. Wish all these guys nothing but the best. Any coaches who may be leaving us after this year as well, wish them nothing but the best as they prepare for a long off season of recruiting and player development. We have one more week next week. CSFL title game again. That will be Army versus Navy at Mansfield at 12 o'clock. I will be at that game. I'll be making my way up to Mansfield bright and early in the morning. I think that's maybe a 4-hour drive from where I'm from. I haven't been up there since my junior season of football. So I forget. And of course, that was on a bus. So I'll be making that drive up there myself this year. I'm looking forward to that, seeing some of the guys who I do have some good relationships with in terms of alum and some of the current players who I've gotten to speak to as well throughout this season. So I'm wishing Army and Navy good luck. I'm hoping for a good game to go up there. And we'll be closing out our season next week, crowning a 2021 CSFL champion. After that, again, I have some interesting ideas I want to do to honor some of the high-impact seniors who will be finishing their careers. Of course, we will have our all-CSFL Hub award recipients. You know, with the Hub, we do first team, second team, third team, not first team, second team, and honorable mention. I think that's crazy. We'll also be giving out our first ever Offensive Player of the Year award. And then I had tweeted about it some weeks ago, our Don Award. I expanded that to encompass just a Defensive Player of the Year award. Offensive Player of the Year award will also be given a honorary name, which I will release when I release the finalists for that award as well. So very excited to give those two awards out to two deserving players, as well as our all Hub, you know, conference award recipients. Again, first team, second team, and third team. So stay on the lookout for that after the season finishes. Stay on the lookout for, you know, more content, Instagram, Twitter, CSFL Hub site, all that good jazz. So again, I am your host, as always, Kyle. Thank you for joining me to cap the regular season. We will have one more week review podcast next week as we talk about the CSFL Hub. As we talk about the CSFL title game. Again, that is Army versus Navy at 12 o'clock. If you won't be there, check out Mountie All Access. They always do a great job. They'll be live streaming the game and having a color commentary as well. So I will see you guys next week. Hopefully I'll see some of you guys at the title game. Looking forward to it. And I'll catch you guys later. Peace.